Christmas story in John's Gospel doesn't have shepherds or kings or even angels or mangers, but simply a poem. In the beginning, John says, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. Well, the Word always becomes flesh in the lives, bodies, and hearts of those who know God and who know the meaning of Jesus at Christmas. And today, the Word made flesh is love. It is the Sunday of love, the fourth Sunday of Advent. If you Google the word love, Google tells us that there is in excess of 1.5 billion sites or places on the internet that have some insight about the idea. Among the more prominent, perhaps, back in the 70s, a neo-hippie, almost insipid, love means never having to say you're sorry from that movie. I never did get that. And yet, everything Robert Browning wrote to Elizabeth Barrett was an effort to explain or experience the power of love. Robert Burns, "My love is like a red, red rose." He really meant it. And everywhere in between are myths, metaphors, images. West Texas singer-songwriter Andy Wilkinson has a song that goes, "The river that never runs dry," and that's what he calls love. And apt as any metaphor, love is a river that never runs dry. But in the chorus, he explicates that in ways that I think help us bring the idea of love to flesh in the way we relate one unto another. The chorus begins, "Love is the reason when we don't know why." In other words, it explains irrational behavior, among other things. Love is the reason when we don't know why. I sometimes ask my students, what do you do when you wake up one morning and you look in the mirror and you say to yourself, "Self, I'm in the market to be marketable, starting today. I'm interested in being interesting to somebody else." Not exactly a rational thought, but one that drives all of us, ultimately, into what we call and become family. Says, well, how do you do that? What do you do? Where do you go? Well, we go to bars. Now we go to eharmony.com. Go to church. Go to college. Well, what do you do when you get there? How do you let somebody know that you're interested in being interesting? And they are not real sure. Eye contact is powerful, but then what do you do next? And pretty soon we get the idea that maybe where they have these arranged marriages in some parts of the world, there's some sense to that. Because it seems so haphazard, and yet we're driven to being in a partnership with someone. It's the reason when we don't know why, seemingly irrational to decide consciously that you want to let someone get to know you and experience all of what being known is about. The great joy of being in the company of someone who cherishes you and who's also close enough to hurt you very badly. It's the reason when we don't know why. We can't explain this irrational behavior except that it seems to be what brings life to the world. It puts the tingle in our flesh and the word becomes real when we make eye contact and we connect. Love is the reason when we don't know why. It's also, Andy Wilkinson writes, love is a lesson in a lullaby. Every one of us, when we were infants, were held closely and warmly and cherished by someone who sang us to sleep. And when asleep, we are never more at peace or, ultimately, more vulnerable. Sleep in heavenly peace is the wish of perhaps our most cherished Christmas song. We are never more who we are fully than we are when we're completely asleep. I've often tried to make the point to students and in this forum as well, that it's an indicator of mental health in some way. How far apart is our front stage persona, the characters we play in the course of our lives, teachers, preachers, judges, parents, whatever it is, how close is that front stage persona or character to who we are when we're alone or with one or two other people? Who are we really? Well, we're in some sense a mixture of both. And there is some distance that must be maintained from what everybody sees to what maybe nobody or one or two see. But the integrity of our lives has to do with just how far apart that is. Well, there is no one in our lives who knows us better, or perhaps who loves us more, than the people who sleep in the same room with us, those with whom we are at peace with enough to fall asleep in their presence. And that is certainly the case when we fall asleep with a prayer in our hearts to the one who is always with us, maybe even when we are most alone. Sleep in heavenly peace is sometimes elusive. There are things that prevent us from falling asleep or staying asleep or getting back to sleep when we awaken in the middle of the night. And perhaps one of the ways God reaches us in his most profound way is as a listener and who invites us to experience the peace that comes through prayer. Even the recitation of prayers that we've learned and know by rote, or simply putting feelings into our minds and allow God to share them. The word becomes flesh in the lessons of the lullaby when we finally, in the company of another, one other or God himself, sleeps in heavenly peace. Love is the reason when we don't know why. Love is a lesson in a lullaby. Love is the angel's alibi. I couldn't help it. I'm an angel. We are all messengers of God's love, God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's peace and hope. A little bit angelic for all of our work. Everybody has seen a million times, and we look forward to seeing it again, the movie The Christmas Story, with the little kid, the 11-year-old in the 40s that is just got to have a Red Ryder BB gun with which he'll put someone's eye out and he's not going to get it. Runs 24 hours straight on Christmas Eve. You can't miss it. You must see it. And the story goes on as we all know it does. And at the end of Christmas, all the presents have been opened and everybody's kind of, oh, well, wasn't that a great Christmas? And did you have a good Christmas, Ralphie? Well, yeah, sort of, you know. And did you have everything you wanted? Well, more or less. Wait a minute. What's that back there? And there's one more present, and it has the unlikely experience of the Red Ryder BB gun. And the mother goes, what did you do that for? And in effect, Dad goes, I couldn't help it. I'm an angel. I can't help it. Love is the angel's alibi. Love the, you know, he's just, I had one, so, you know. Why do we forgive him? Why do we love her anyway? I can't help it. I'm an angel. And so it goes, thank God. There's a point at which, though, this becomes a little troublesome. At some point, I couldn't help it, I'm an angel, becomes I now am a doormat. I had a weird thing happen this week. For like the second or third time in 15 years of teaching, I've had some correspondence with, and in this instance it was an email, from the parent of a student, and actually two or three sequences of emails, essentially saying, my kid really needs a break, and maybe he didn't screw up as badly as you think, and could you, and he doesn't know I'm talking to you, and could you pass him anyway? That almost never happens. And it really bothers me when it comes from a student or anybody else. You know, I don't do this for the athletic department. I'm basically have my hands tied when it comes to this sort of thing to preserve the integrity of the university and what a diploma means and all of that. And I finally had to say to the dad on email, this is really your kid's problem, and if he wants to talk to me about it, I'll be at work next time I'll be at work, you know? And I hate that, because I basically am going to flunk the kid. And, you know, the dad can say, why did you flunk him? And I go, because I'm an angel. I had no choice. It could be that the one thing this kid needs to learn most of all is how to cope with problems of his own making without you fixing them. Otherwise, how's he going to learn to fix anything? It's like when you live with someone who drinks too much and continually parks their car on the lawn, and you wait for him to come home and you quickly put the car in the garage. Well, if you keep putting it in the garage, he's going to keep putting it on the lawn and nothing changes. Why did you leave the car on the lawn? I couldn't help it. I'm an angel. Love, even the dark side of love, is the angel's alibi, which brings us full circle on the Advent wreath. There are themes in each Sunday, the Sunday of hope, Sunday of joy, Sunday of peace. And I have maintained, my own personal metaphor for what love is that it is the sum of all feelings, just as white light is the sum of all colors. And if you take a prism and put it in front of a light source, it becomes a rainbow. So also is love the sum of all feelings, and not all of them tickle. And, if you're the parent of a child that's struggling, some of those feelings don't tickle, and you struggle with what to do about that, and how to both teach them to cope, but catch them when they fall. It's a struggle. And yet, at the end of the day, we have the baby that comes again, the Prince of Peace, the source of joy that pushes us toward hope and lets us know that everything we feel in the middle of the day or the middle of the night is a part of the love of God, which can only come to us in the form of a child. Love is the sum of all feelings. It is a word that is made flesh every day when each one of us, in whatever way that makes the most sense to us at that moment, touches another. The word is made flesh and dwelt among us. And this morning, that word is love. Amen.